The last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Okay, we have a number of guests with us to talk about these meat factories, which seem to be the source of the bulk of the extra COVID-19 cases that have affected the country over the last week. Let's start with Hannah Quinn Mulligan from the Irish Farmers Journal. The four meat factories at the centre of this: Irish Dog Foods, Carol's Cuisine, O'Brien's Fine Foods and Kildare Chilling. Are they all closed now at this stage, Hannah?
They are, you're correct. So Carol's Cuisine came out this afternoon and said that they were also closing as well temporarily. I suppose it's interesting to note that while we have our first localised lockdown here sparked by meat factories, there were localised lockdowns in England and in Germany as well. Germany in particular had a massive outbreak where about 1,500 workers out of 7,000 tested positive. So we had seen localised lockdowns in other areas because of meat factories.
What makes these meat factories so vulnerable, Hannah?
Yeah, it's been a hot topic for conversation. I suppose one of the obvious ones is the temperature of the meat factories is very conducive to the virus spreading. It's usually about 1 or 2 degrees in a meat factory. And also, you know, meat factories aren't made for social distancing. I mean, most workplaces aren't, but there's a processing line. People are quite close together. There's lots of shouting. And while, you know, Meat Industry Ireland will say that all their fat members have abided by HSE protocol, there is no doubt that they have been challenged by putting that protocol in place. And we see that now, especially in the case, I suppose, most recently of Kildare Chilling, where there's been 150 workers have tested positive. And they've also texted their farmer suppliers this afternoon. And we've seen the text saying that results are slow in coming. So we expect some more positive results potentially from them as well.
What's the size of this industry in Ireland? How many people are employed? How many plants do we have? What sort of food are they processing?
Yeah, so the scope is huge, and the rural Ireland and our economy as a whole is really dependent on it. So there's about 15,000 workers across the industry. There are 56 large-scale slaughter plants in Ireland, and I know slaughter is a horrible word, but it's important to differentiate the slaughter plants that live animals go into to be processed and then the processing plants. And I suppose in the four cases we have currently, only one is a slaughter plant. That's Kildare Chilling, which has the most immediate impact on farmers. But it is a €1 billion industry, and it is very vulnerable in all aspects of the food chain. And I suppose we only have to think about farmer protests last year to think about giving out about, you know, profit margins, very slim profit margins. And now we potentially see another aspect of that kind of cheap food policy that's impacting workers as well, in this case around COVID-19 outbreaks.
And how many of the workers is it estimated come from outside Ireland?
Yeah, no, we have that breakdown. It's very specific. So about 20% of those workers are working on non-EU permits. They're issued by the Department of Business, and the meat industry have to prove that they can't get those workers in Ireland in order to get those permits. There's been about over 2,000 issued in the last couple of years. So that's 20% of the workforce. 50% of the workforce are from Europe, largely Eastern European, and then about 30% are from Ireland. So that's the breakdown that's there. And I suppose it's maybe important to say kind of how diverse the permit ranges, as in if we look at Kildare Chilling, just for example, because I have the permit breakdown in front of me, you have workers from Pakistan, from Ukraine, you know, it is quite wide ranging. And I suppose something that the meat industry has been challenged by is, I suppose, translating those test results to workers or translating COVID-19 health advice to those workers as well.
What are the pay rates?
The pay rates, so we have it in black and white. For the permits, the meat operatives have to get at least €22,000 a year, they have specific working hour contracts, and also as well there are other things in place like possibly accommodation if the workers needed it, and possibly language classes are meant to be provided if the workers needed it. If you're a deboner, say a butcher, that's slightly more skilled work, so €27,500 is the minimum rate. But we have seen some ambiguity around here, and one story that we covered recently in the Farmers Journal was that a meat factory down in Cork was operating and it had its Romanian workers on sole trader contracts. So even though they were physically working in Ireland, the recruitment agency that had hired them was paying them through Poland. So all their tax contributions and everything were being paid in Poland. This was an issue at the time of the pandemic, because when those workers were told to self-isolate, they didn't have access to the illness benefit because all their PRSI contributions had been paid in a Polish model. They hadn't been paid in an Irish model. So that was a system there. They didn't have enough Irish PRSI stamps to access the illness benefit.
And Hannah Quinn Mulligan from the Irish Farmers Journal. A listener suggests, would the 30% from Ireland, are they likely to be in the back office doing administrative duties, filling management roles, rather than necessarily being on the factory floor?
That has been the suggestion. I suppose there is a difference between different meat factories as well. So like I said before about kind of slaughter and non-slaughter plants, from what I've seen of the permits that have been issued, a lot more of them have gone to the slaughter plants than to the non-slaughter plants. So there is an expectation that there might be a higher non-EU workforce in the non-slaughter plants.
Hannah Quinn Mulligan, thank you very much, from the Irish Farmers Journal. Idel McGinley is director of the Migrant Rights Centre. How much of an issue is it also that perhaps many of these immigrants coming to the country to take up these jobs, then, as well as being working together on the factory floor, share accommodation, perhaps quite large numbers, to small houses?
Yeah, look, I think it's a very mixed picture out there. What we see is a range of accommodation types. We see people who are owner-occupied. We see people who are renting with others who are not working in the factory with them. We see people who are working together and renting together. We see a small number of overcrowded houses at the moment. So it is quite mixed. Kind of people we've been talking to kind of fill all of that. We haven't seen so much accommodation supplied by employers, but what we do see is that, you know, accommodation, you know, when you're newly over, an employer might suggest somebody down the road would, you know, give you X accommodation for X price. So there is a linkage there with employers in some cases. I suppose just maybe picking up on some of what Hannah was saying as well. I mean, we've been working with deboners, trimmers, kill line operators, packing hall operators. So there's a various range of kind of roles that are in the meat plants. A lot of the people we've been working with, you know, many say they're not paid overtime for the work that they're doing. A quarter of people we've been working with told us that they don't have a contract, or they don't know if they have a contract of employment. 90% of the people that we work with don't have sick pay schemes provided for by the employers. And that's really important, because people, you know, need to feel secure that if they are sick, that they'll be looked after. So that's something that I know the minister has come out and said that people who are diagnosed with COVID or who are being tested can avail of that. So that's very welcome. But there is an issue there in terms of you have to prove you're a contract, and sort of a quarter of the people we're working with don't even know if they have a contract or not. It's also a very difficult industry. 57% of the people that we're working with have had injuries at work. Lacerations are common, bruises, repetitive strain, back pain, loss of fingers are also common. A lot of the workers feel they're not valued at work. There's instances of bullying and harassment in the workplace. So it's a difficult place to work. So, you know, it's not surprising, okay, I think, to us that we are seeing the levels of maybe non-compliance, because it is an industry where there has been non-compliance in the past.
OK, we've listeners suggesting as well that it has been just shown in the last year that the farmers weren't getting a fair price from the meat factories. Now it seems as well that the employees in the meat factories aren't getting a fair wage. Of course, the factories, don't they complain that they're not getting a fair price from the supermarkets, who then sell us our cheap meat. Matt Carty, Sinn Féin's agriculture spokesman, is with us as well. Matt, should we just bite the bullet and shut down all of these meat factories?
Well, certainly any plant that has a coronavirus case should be shut down immediately. And that isn't an incredibly radical thing to say, because our own Taoiseach had said that prior to his appointment, when we previously had a number of clusters. And to me, it's the very sensible thing, and the fact that we're lauding companies for voluntarily shutting down after having an outbreak, to me, you know, it shouldn't even come into question as soon as there was a confirmed case of COVID-19 in any factory, that it should be shut down, it should be deep cleaned, and the practices within should be thoroughly examined. The problem, of course, has been that there hasn't been the type of oversight that is required in any of these meat factories. Considering the information and the knowledge that Hannah Quinn Mulligan has indicated that internationally, these plants can pose a very significant problem if an outbreak occurs.
They're also being kept open all around the world. Even in countries like New Zealand, they are keeping the meat factories open. But if that is to happen, should there be a sort of a permanent oversight perhaps in all of these factories from health and safety officials from the state to make sure that things are done properly?
Absolutely. And as I said, this is an issue going back as far as April, when representatives in the Dáil were raising specific concerns with regard to the practices that were being undertaken in the meat factories. And this was across party. So you would have heard Brian Stanley from Sinn Féin, Paul Murphy from Rise, Dennis Nocton, the Independent TD. So right across the board, people were pointing to individual deficiencies that were happening within the system. When we eventually had a meeting of the COVID-19 committee in the Dáil, and when meat industry were before us, we received very stark confirmation that, first of all, at that point, the HSA hadn't carried out a single unannounced inspection of any meat plant. Now, remember that the HSA were actually very slow to start inspections at meat plants in the first place, and then to learn that none of them were actually unannounced. We also learned that the process of mass testing within meat plants had actually ceased. So we have a situation whereby until we get a confirmed case, testing doesn't happen in a place where we know that if cases emerge, we end up in the situation where we're in now in Kildare, Laois and Offaly, where restrictions have to be placed on everybody else in society. And then to suggest that following all of that, that the factories concerned will continue to operate, to me is just nonsensical. And remember, okay, you know, as a rural TD, we're dealing with lots of businesses, particularly local pubs, but also others that can't open at all as a result of the restrictions in place. I think the least that they could expect, or the least that wider communities could expect, is that those centres which are prone to outbreaks, and that those outbreaks can have very serious consequences, that they would be adhering to the most rigid inspection and testing regimes that are available. And of course, it needs to be monitored by the state. So the HSA and the government knew that this was a potential disaster waiting to happen. Unfortunately, they didn't put in place the correct mechanisms. We can only hope now that those mechanisms will be put in place and strictly adhered to.
Matt Carthy of Sinn Féin, thank you.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.